Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin with Hashem Power Word Share number 66. When someone you have a close relationship with does not treat you properly, it's easy to place the blame on that person. Because you consider the other person totally at fault, you're likely to insult or verbally abuse back. But in reality, there may be a background of the number of interchanges between you and that person, and little by little that led to the person's acting that way that they did. So be aware of the chain of events, and you'll recognize that you contributed to this problematic situation. One big disclaimer with what I just said. There are indeed abusive situations of when one party is physically, sexually, verbally abusive, and they take 100% of the blame, or at least 99% of the blame, because they're actively manipulative, abusing, hurtful, and the other party is a victim. These situations do occur, unfortunately. Thank God, not so common, but unfortunately more common than it should be. We are not talking about here those situations. In those situations, the victim, the one that's not treating you properly, is at fault, and it's their responsibility, and you are a victim. There's nothing you could have done. But we are not talking about those situations now. We're talking here about two relatively healthy people that love each other but have flaws. In that situation, you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, I perhaps, even though my, let's say in the marriage situation, my spouse was wrong for being upset at me or saying a harsh word or being insensitive, me looking in the mirror needs to realize I may have contributed to that problem with my own behavior. You know, because at times someone else is reacting to the way you spoke to them or did something to them. Or they may react because of complaints towards you because of something you failed to say or do. So when you realize that you yourself were partly the cause of what the person did or didn't do, you'll find it much easier not to say things to him or her that would constitute a Noas Devarim. So instead of blaming the other person, you focus on practical solutions to improve the situation in the future, and sometimes to recognize what you could do to improve. So again, with the exception of abusive situations where one of them is an outright abuser, which again, in the power of words, Be'ez Hashem, we will go into the verbal abuse aspect of things, then the victim of it that needs to, the opposite, realize it's not their fault and get out of the situation or figure out how to get help for the, you know, abuser, or do whatever you need to do to protect yourself. But in most situations where you're just simply flawed individuals working with one another, you need to make your own cheshbon nefesh. And in marriage, at least 85% of the work is working on your own character. Husband on their own, introspective, and wife on their own, introspective. Now, some people will make requests of you that you won't be able to meet. Now, while you have a strong obligation to do acts of chesed for others, there'll be times where you are a putter. You don't have to. There'll be times where it's better that you don't, because you'll be overextended and you just can't. So be careful when you refuse to be polite, to be respectful. So in other words, you're not feeling well. Someone asks you, please help me carry this, that, or the other thing. Just saying, no, I'm not helping you, that's a Noas Devarim. Even that, no. Instead you say, I'm sorry, I'd love to help you, but I'm really not feeling well. I'm not able to help you now, I'm sorry. That's the right way to refuse. Some people have a tendency to overreact when people make excessive requests of them, or they become angry. So when they feel overwhelmed, they may say, stop it already. What do you think, I'm your slave? You know, leave me alone. Stop asking me for these favors. No, but instead of saying that, and let's say you feel you need to place these protective borders, you say, I would love to do chesed, But right now what you're asking from me is too much. I'm sorry. I'm not able to do what you asked me to do. Right now it's not doable. I apologize. Now, if someone invites you to a simcha and you're too busy to attend, don't say, I can't waste my time with these things. Well, that's offensive. Instead, say, I would like to come, but unfortunately, I'm not able to do so. Another thing that one has to be careful pertaining to the aspects of Inas Dvaram is how you refute the arguments of other people. By the way, this is true even with Milchamto Shel Torah. In other words, you have two Chavrusais, or two Rabbeim. They fight sometimes like very, you know, in yeshiva. So Rabbeim did this, and they were totally the Shem Shemayim. They loved each other when they did this, and they knew their own language. And there, very often, it's not a problem when they sort of raise their voices and when they're arguing with a point of Torah with each other. But one still has to be careful even in those situations. But generally speaking, when you're trying to refute the arguments of someone that's opposing you, it's easy to resort to calling names, insults. It's not necessary. And you're over Einas Dvarim very often, it's terrible when you do that, because the idea is to have respect. When you want to refute someone's position, first understand what exactly that position is. How much of what he said is based on his negios, his private prejudices? How much is it evidence-based? And then you introduce your counter-evidence and your counter-proof that would dispute the evidence. You don't need to insult. This is by pointing out in a calm manner the discrepancies between what this person is saying and the truth as you see it. In Chavrusa, they're learning together what the Rashba said on a particular Gemara, and they see it differently, what the Rashba is saying. Stick your focus on the objective facts, trying to look for the truth, not to insult the other person, not the ego trip of you needing to be right all the time. Another important point is that in many instances, it's entirely unnecessary to even bother to refute another person's argument. It's irrelevant. And so, and you know that if you have nothing at all to lose by just conceding a point or just saying, very interesting thought, or I'll think about it, and I'll think about what you just said. Doesn't obligate you in any way other than thinking about it a little bit, and it removes a lot of the agmas nefesh of unnecessary arguments. So this is very important when a husband and wife having dialogues about differences of opinion between the two of them. Chavrusas in a base medrash also, to be careful how you do this and not resort chas v'shalom to name calling or to insults or belittling. Another aspect to know is that any person with any type of value will regret when they insulted people or they verbally abused people. And to realize that if when you said those things many times, it was just that you were angry or excited, or you were in an irritable mood, or you were careless, or you were unaware. And later, when you look objectively back at what you said, you feel sorry for it. Maybe not in the short term, maybe in the long term. In the long term, it's too late. So here is the idea. If you just did something, and in the present, that you will regret, you know, when you know in the present that you will regret an action you are about to take, then you will have more self-discipline. So be aware, look back at things you regretted already saying, and that's a powerful tool. If you do not regret the Einas Dvarim that you have said, it's a sign of lack of spiritual and emotional sensitivity. Ask yourself, what stops me from regretting the Einas Dvarim that I have, that I did say? What attitudes can I develop and internalize in order to feel healthy regret? Healthy regret does not mean self-bashing, but if you hurt somebody, you need to take responsibility for that and try to correct it and try to make things better. So, number one, aside from actual abusive situations where one party is pretty much 100% responsible, but we're talking about the majority of people, where they're just simply flaws on both sides of good human beings, Recognize your own contribution to a problem. Look at yourself in the mirror. See where you made the mistakes and try to correct it and apologize for it. Usually the other side, if it's a husband to wife, that if one does that, the other one will reciprocate. Also, to be careful when you do refuse someone else's request, not to hurt their feelings. Just say, I'm sorry, I'm not able to do this for you right now. I'm not feeling well or whatever it is, but don't hurt the person. And when you're arguing with each other, please be careful not to resort to name-calling or insults or petty arguments with one another. And to recognize that you would regret later the actions or the words you were about to say, that should prevent you from saying them from the outset. Bracha v'atzlacha to all.